You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Welcome to another KoopaCast. This is KoopaCast number 79, Nintendo's Mobility. I'm your host, Matt, the Multimedia Manager of PNM and PureNintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. I'm joined by two other people today. I'm joined by Editor-in-Chief, Justin Sharp.
Hey, everyone. It's good to be here.
And I am joined by writer, Trevor Gould.
Hey, Matt, Justin, and all who are watching and or listening. Glad to be here.
And we normally hold these KoopaCasts on Wednesday nights, but this week we decided to delay it one day so Nintendo can finish up their financial briefing in Japan and finish announcing their mobile title so we can have a more timely topic to, talk about. And they did, and wow, what a couple, what an interesting day. We'll get to the second day, which is definitely more interesting than the first. The first day, we're going to talk about just a little bit of financial stuff. Their earnings, I'm not going to go over everything. If you want to see all the financial numbers, you can go to purenintendo.com. Our own other editor-in-chief, James Higginbotham, he did a few posts on that. Gemma did as well, and so did Trevor. But just to run down a couple of bigger numbers here, the net income this year was 3.2, sorry, not this year, this quarter was 3.26 billion yen. Which is $27 million. Net sale was $1.7 billion. Wii U has sold 10.73 million in their lifetime, and the 3DS is at 54.34 million lifetime. And a couple of big numbers to talk about. They're kind of new. They're like Nintendo also released their like top, I guess, top 10 in each platform, the Wii U and 3DS. Mm-hmm. And 3DS is nothing. Nothing revolutionary. Pokemon's still on top with 14.15 million units sold. And that's the way they're going to stay. But a couple of interesting numbers is Mario Maker, despite only being 7 weeks old, has at 1.88 million. And the newest IP from Nintendo Splatoon, for being 22 weeks old, is at 2.42 million. And if you're wondering about Yoshi, wait a little bit longer here. Have some patience. That's not going to be on the list anytime soon. So my question for you guys is, what do you guys think about these numbers? Do you think that's about on par what you expected Nintendo to report? You think it's below what you wanted or below what you expected?
It's at least good because I think they did say that Wii U, even though it only sold 720,000 units in that quarter. So what is that, 3 months time? It's not great numbers, but I think they did say it's like 40% more than last quarter this time. So it's at least encouraging. I think Splatoon, Mario Maker, maybe a small percentage due to Yoshi has kind of pushed the sales a little bit. But I'd like to see them doing a lot better. I'm sure they would too.
I think profit is profit, and obviously I'm speaking, you know, mostly as a fan and journalist. It's not like I have Nintendo stock, but I think Nintendo is a profitable company, and I think they're smart generally with their money. I was encouraged to see some of the results with like Animal Crossing, like Happy Home Designer, because that was kind of, people
Yeah.
were iffy on that, but that's selling big, especially in Japan. Those cards, which I found interesting because I thought the amiibo craze was really the figures, but the cards they can't even keep up with. So I think that I'm not quite sure what to think of that, to tell you the truth, but that gives me hope for like Amiibo Festival, what's coming out in a few weeks. So yeah, I'm generally pleased. I think, they had a rough spell early in the Wii U's life, but now they've turned profits for a couple quarters, so let's keep going up.
Yeah, I think you make a good point too, Trevor, that this could be like, Nintendo's still kind of lean, like you said, profit's profit. It's probably less profit than they want to make, but they're probably building, they're kind of, leveraging, Amiibo and some of this other stuff to kind of get them through the doldrums of Wii U sales right now. But I think that also helps them build for the future, like especially with the NX, their smartphone games and things that they're developing right now. It probably makes it nice that they're not really losing any money, but they're not gaining a whole lot. They're just kind of in this nice little spot where, they can further invest and take some risks with the NX and games moving forward. So, and it was nice to see that Miyamoto said they're going to be a lot more aggressive with their IPs. We'll see what that. I mean, they've said that before. I know Iwata had mentioned that a couple years ago. And I think Miyamoto said not just licensing, that they were going to do other stuff. So we'll see what
Yeah.
happens.
I thought it was very interesting. Obviously these aren't the best numbers in the world, but I think it's still good that especially because this is still sort of like, I guess, a transitory period, with Iwata's passing a few months back, and then we got Kimishima coming in and kind of taking over, and we're seeing all these like development teams are getting switched around, and like there's a couple of mergers that are, I don't know if they've been underway or they're already done with, is there still going on between that, or between everything going on with Nintendo, I guess the fact that they're still kind of like holding it together with these kinds of numbers, that they're still kind of they're holding respectable numbers, that kind of speaks well to Kimishima's leadership ability and the ability for everybody else in Nintendo to kind of keep going,
I
What's
thought it
a
was.
tall tip? Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Trevor. I thought it was interesting though that they were talking about the delay of the smartphone game that they originally planning on it being before the end of the year. But they said the main reason for the delay was really just adequate time to promote it. Did you notice that?
I thought that was very interesting. Usually
Yeah.
Nintendo's delaying things because it's not up to snuff. Like what we're seeing with Zelda and Star Fox, those are both delayed because they don't think it's ready to be released yet. I've never heard of like a game. Actually, I don't think I've heard of any game being delayed for solely marketing purposes.
Yeah, and
So
that
that was
makes
definitely a
me,
very interesting statement.
yeah, it makes me kind of wonder if maybe it's not necessarily the lead time to promote the mobile games, but the potential detriment that it could do to marketing Wii U and 3DS games coming out before the end of the year. Because think about it, if you had some, you're like, hey, we're coming out with Xenoblade X. We've got Mario Power Ultra Smash or Mario Tennis Ultra Smash and all that stuff. You want to kind of have those sell well. If you start advertising, hey, check out Nintendo's first smartphone game. It's, we have these Mii characters, blah blah blah. I mean, obviously it's not going to be a super hit. I mean, I'm sure it'll sell or a lot of people download it, but potentially that could take some of the mind share away from their other games, maybe leading into the holiday. So maybe that's part of the reasoning. But.
I had a different theory about that. I mean, that's good, but I think it's also might be they want Miitomo to be closer to maybe the rest of Nintendo's mobile plan, as well as their My Nintendo service that'll be releasing in the future.
Yeah.
That way, they can kind of like release it all at once. Because if they release Miitomo now, we have a few months of it, and then it's like, well, yeah, I could talk to my Mii, and my Mii can spread rumors about me to other Miis. But how's that gonna entertain me for a few months? Whereas if they wait, then they could be like, okay, well here's Miitomo, and they could push that out to the general public, and then they can also say, oh, and Miitomo is part of this much larger system that we have out for smartphones and consoles, you know, and we want to talk about that a little bit more. And that way they're going to get all that out to the general public kind of like as a bigger blast.
Yeah. I think you both have fair points. You know, I think Justin was right about the potential for that to, you know, maybe confuse consumers. Obviously, you know, those of us who are informed, we know Nintendo is not focusing on smartphones at the expense of their own consoles. But, you know, to a casual consumer, you know, who plays on their phone more often than not, they could easily see that and be like, oh, you know, Nintendo's finally going to the phones. Mm-hmm. I think good marketing is going to prevent or lessen that potential confusion. And I also think marketing is important because, like, with, you know, the game, they're talking about, oh, you know, revealing things about yourself, being social. And for me, that kind of went against the grain of what Nintendo's been. You know, like if anybody uses Miiverse with any regularity, you know, you reveal information, you're going to get your post deleted. You're going to get a warning. Mm-hmm. You know, you might get a ban. And here's Nintendo saying, okay, we're going to do a 180 on that. Now we want this, you know, new app to encourage sharing things about you. How exactly is that going to work? I think they need time to explain that and say, this is where, you know, as the company turning a new MO on this, this is where we're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like Matt's idea. I think that makes sense. And maybe there's probably a broader strategy rather than just marketing only for, you know, Miitomo. It could be, you know, their whole strategy for, they want Miitomo to launch alongside My Nintendo and launch alongside Nintendo accounts, and, you know, so it could be kind of a, you know, a whole initiative, I guess.
And just kind of changing gears just a little bit, I wanted to get more into the mobile side a little bit later, but I kind of wanted to talk about, we mentioned the holiday season that's coming up for Nintendo. And we don't want, like, you know, maybe Miitomo to overshadow what games Nintendo has. And I was curious to look up what games Nintendo would have. And if you go to their site right now, like, they have a little calendar, I guess. Or a quote-unquote calendar. It's really just a list of games and dates. Mm-hmm. And they only had on their site about 8 games I have. 6 of them are the only ones that have solid dates. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 5. 5 have solid dates. Which are November 11th, Yo-Kai Watch for 3DS. November 20th is Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon. Mm-hmm. The 20th is Mario Tennis Ultra Smash. And then we cross it over into December, and then Xenoblade X, and then Devil's Third. And then they have two games on here, Amiibo Crossing Amiibo Festival, and Sonic Boom, Fire and Ice, and those are just only listed as Holiday 2015.
I totally forgot about those.
I thought Amiibo Festival did have a date. I could have been wrong.
Does it have a link have to go double check on that?
Because I was going to say, a lot of the bigger games have links, actually, where they have their own site. Yeah. It's possible that Nintendo just didn't update that page, but maybe the full game release has it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a robust holiday lineup, but, you know, it's got some big hitters nonetheless.
Yeah, you know, and
I just wanted to,
sorry. It kind of in Nintendo's defense, as far as, you know, like you mentioned, there's like 8 titles on there. You know, if you look at like any other platform publisher, Nintendo's still publishing a lot more themselves than Sony or Microsoft does in a holiday or even 6 months of time. And with like PS4, there's been a lot of doldrums as far as like first party games on that system. So even though it is kind of a low time for us as Nintendo fans, because we're like, oh, we're used to seeing some big game like Smash Brothers around the holidays, or and when Star Fox got delayed, it's like, oh, okay, so now the big one's Mario Tennis and Xenoblade, that's still good, but I guess we're pretty spoiled. But.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we're not just like spoiled, but we expected, you know, earlier in 2015 to see, you know, Zelda U and Star Fox. We expected those to see those both around the holidays. And you hear that they were both delayed, you know, regardless of what the other two consoles are doing, really takes the wind out of Nintendo's sales or for the holiday season. I mean, the shift sales, not the not the money sales.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, I mean, we expected Star Fox, but I don't think anybody really in their heart of hearts expected Zelda to not get delayed again.
Yeah.
I didn't. Oh, by the way, November 13th for Amiibo Festival, I see on Nintendo's site. Nice. Maybe a different page, I don't know. I don't know about Fire
I'm gonna write that down now. Well, they were delayed before, and I remember that, but then it just kind of like disappeared. So I think we might need to have to do some research and do some contacting and all that.
Yeah. Well, some of these too. Yeah, some of these just haven't gotten a whole lot of the hype you'd expect for a marquee release.
I still haven't heard anything about Xenoblade X outside of what, you know, what I go out and look for. You know, as a journalist, I'm looking for Xenoblade X, and I see it, but I don't see anything else outside of that.
I wonder.
Websites, I guess.
Yeah, I really hope they pick up marketing for it in November sometime. I don't know if maybe they're just holding off or whatever, but I think they honestly need to announce the preload for the game a good month in advance to get fans excited, because, I mean, it's a huge game. You want people, you know, who are going to be pre-ordering it digitally to be able to download the 25 gigs well in advance. So I'm hoping they'll have something kind of to coincide with, hey, you can preload Xenoblade X and also download Xenoblade Chronicles on the eShop today. Because that's something that's been out in Europe for a while, but hasn't
Please yet. Do that. Give me Xenoblade. Come on. Yeah. You have no excuse.
Yeah. I think they've got to, and I think that's the only reason why we haven't seen it is because Nintendo of America is holding it back to as some sort of promotion for X. So we haven't seen what that will take. But
I wonder, and I say this just because to some extent I saw it with Yoshi, with these games that are released in regions in advance of us, I wonder if, you know, the bulk of the hype maybe, because Xenoblade's been out in Japan, Woolly World was out in Europe. Then they come to us months later. Do they feel like, okay, we don't need as much marketing because it's already found an audience? I don't know. I hope that's not the case. But I think it's something to chew on anyway.
Yeah.
That would be a poor marketing decision.
Yeah.
And I've seen commercials for Yoshi's Woolly World out there in the wild. So I know they're at least doing something for
Oh,
that.
Really? I haven't seen any.
I've seen a few.
Did they show our score?
I wasn't paying attention to that. I just said, hey, Trish, Woolly World.
Sometimes they use different, for the commercials, they'll like just use different stuff rather than showing reviews.
Well, Nintendo's marketing, I mean, to be blunt, during the Wii U era especially, has been really sporadic. Like, I saw Splatoon stuff, but in Mario Maker. Those are two I've seen, but those are probably the two biggest, actually. I didn't see a whole lot of stuff prior. Maybe it's just me, my viewing habits.
Yeah. I'm still seeing Splatoon every once in a while.
Yeah, nice.
Like, so, I mean, Nintendo really has put a lot of faith in that game.
Yeah.
Well, it's impressive to see what it's sold. I mean, that's, you know, what's that, like a 25% attach rate? Or almost, you know, for the number of Wii U's sold. Is that number even sold, or is that number just shipped to stores? I'm not even sure if that's...
It's likely shipped to stores. Not really see
games
that like
said in the numbers, it said in the numbers the Wii U sold 720,000 units, totaling 10.7 3 million units to date. So that to me would say those are sold. Nintendo.
Well, in any event, that's a high attach rate.
Yeah, Nintendo is one of the few companies that mentions sold through rates versus ship rates. Sony and Microsoft do that a lot. Like, we shipped this many units, or even third parties, like they'll say, hey, we shipped 9 million copies of Assassin's Creed 15, or you know what I mean. Like they're more into those kind of numbers. Nintendo's more, hey, this is what we sold. They're the numbers. Because whenever they announce their numbers, it's to investors. Investors don't really care about ship numbers, I would imagine, as much.
Yeah. They don't need the PR spin.
Yeah.
All right. And just going a little bit further here into day two, where they talked a little bit about their mobile stuff and their cloud stuff. And before I get into, like, you know, me to Mo, as they announced a few other things, they talked about My Nintendo, which is going to be the replacement to Club Nintendo. It's going to be able to connect to consoles, PCs, smart devices, and it's going to have a cloud service, which is, I think, long overdue.
Oh, yes.
You're going to be able to buy games on multiple devices, and then your console can just download it automatically from there.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that they want to be able to, like, have game saves and other, like, data, like player data.
Yes.
Up into the cloud too, instead of just tied to a device, which is always a plus. I think those are, like, the two biggest demands from, you know, gamers out there to Nintendo, which is, you know, please don't tie my stuff to a device.
Yeah.
You know, let me do it, like, have some kind of cloud thing. Let me do what other consoles are already letting me do.
Yeah. I think it's finally, you know, people have, you know, talked about this for a long time. Nintendo needs a true account system where, you know, things are tied to an account, not a device. And hopefully this is it. Like, I mean, you were mentioning there that it's not tied to a device and, you know, saves can be transferred between devices. I mean, that's huge. I can't remember. I think I did the review for Mario versus Donkey Kong Tipping Stars.
Yeah, you did.
Okay. But I remember that game. It's like, hey, that's cool that it has cross-buy, right? Like, you buy it on one system, you get it on the other. But to me, like, I played through half the levels on the Wii U, and it's like, oh, now I want to go on the go, but I have to start over. You know, there's no connection to my save game that they had on the Wii U.
Yeah.
So to me, I was like, well, cross-buy is kind of pointless at that point. Yeah. But so it's good to see them going in that direction.
Yeah, well, especially a game like that too, where you can design, I mean, your own courses. I mean, you don't want to design an elaborate course.
Yeah, it just seemed like it was like almost there, you know, just go a little bit further and the game's perfect. But
yeah, it's good. It's overdue, and better late than never, you know. And that's the thing. There's no point, you know. They announced this, and there's no point in chewing them out for, oh, it's so late. I mean. Yeah, it is, but it's here. I mean, we might as well embrace it.
Let's see. And then, of course, they talked about, oh, I'm sorry, one more thing I forgot to mention about My Nintendo is that they're going to have a similar system, or a system similar to what you saw in Club Nintendo and what you saw in, was it Nintendo Digital Deluxe Digital Promotion, right? That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, purchasing software, and that's a very important thing, is that they said software. They didn't say games. They said purchasing Nintendo software will lead to other, like, rewards, discounts, and coupons and stuff like that for, you know, account holders down the line, which, again, is, I think, a very, you know, that's something that I think they probably should have just kept in there.
Yeah, or
they should keep it there, because that's what the Club Nintendo had. That's what the Deluxe Digital Promotion had. So it would feel like a weird, I guess, about face, maybe, if they just got this new service and they're like, we're giving you all this stuff, but we're going to take this back, this essential thing we've always had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as someone who is buying mostly digital now, that it's music to my ears to see them come back around to that, because I'd love to see, like, that 5 or 10% discount buying digitally moving forward, because I don't know, like right now there's not a whole lot of incentive for a lot of people to buy digital versus physical, especially when it is tied to the system. But if they do have a full account system in place and you could potentially get the digital game for 5 or 10% off, then people are like, well, I want to try this game, you know, and then if they implement some sort of refund system for things like that, like Steam did, I mean, then it's kind of the best of both worlds. Then you wouldn't have people not necessarily wanting to try digital.
I suspect, and obviously we don't know because Nintendo holds those numbers close to their chest, but I bet when the promotion ended, Nintendo saw a drop in digital sales. Mm-hmm. I know personally I was more, I'm still mostly a physical guy, but eShop only or virtual console. I know towards the end I was buying up some stuff on my wish list because I'm like, oh, I only need this many more points to get a gift card. It was effective, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, DDP definitely ate into my wallet. Yeah. And I was looking at that every day like, all right, what game can I justify purchasing right now so I could just get $5 more so I can buy another game?
Yeah, well, I mean, think about it. I mean, like, Steam's kind of proven that model. It's like whether or not gamers have the time to play the game, if they can get it for 5% off, they'll buy it now with just the opportunity to play it at some point.
Yeah.
And
we're fickle people. Fickle gamers.
Absolutely.
Well, when they did the Nindy Humble Bundle, that's a tongue twister. That seemed to be, I don't know if they're going to do more of those, but that seemed to be pretty effective.
Yeah, I do like the cross promotion too. Like you buy one indie game, you get another one 30% off or 50% off or whatever it is. I do hope they do that more with their first party titles, because I feel like Nintendo gets a lot of flack for their first-party games of, you know, sure, they're quality, but they're always just so expensive. They stay $60. I mean, like, Mario Brothers U that came out at launch is still $60. I mean, how can you justify that? But it'd be cool to see.
Well, they just re-released it.
yeah, that's true. Yeah, they have the bundled DLC with it now for $60. It'd be cool if they had, like, virtual console games, like, hey, you're a loyal fan. You bought Mario 64 on the virtual console for the Wii U. You bought Mario World. You get 20% off any other Mario game. Like, that would get people to really, you know, care about those characters and the different franchises. Like, oh, cool. If I buy two Mario games, I can get a third one free. You know?
Yeah. All right. Even like you said with Xenoblade, you know, here's the new one, but we'll give you the old one at a discount. Or Ultra Smash is coming out. Let's get you Mario Tennis 64 for half off or something.
Yeah. Like people love bundled stuff like that. Like, okay, I'm already going to spend $60 on Xenoblade. It's $5 more to get the original. Sign me up.
And just real quick, Super Mario Brothers U is the third most highest. The third highest selling game on the Wii U with 4.88 million.
Alright, so you're telling me they're justified in keeping it.
That's how they're justifying it. I guarantee that's how they're justifying it. Yeah. I believe Super Luigi U is also on here on this list. I think I saw that. I don't know. Maybe I just... I saw... Okay, here's Luigi's Mansion for the...
Yeah. Well, it was affecting for a while. There we
go. Super Luigi U is at 2.27 million.
Wow.
So... Yeah. That's exactly how Nintendo was justifying a $60 price tag for one of the first games released on the Wii U.
Yep, it's still selling. They're like, hey, if you stop buying it, we'll discount it.
Yeah, maybe we'll put it down to $40, but you guys won't stop buying it.
Great.
And one more thing with My Nintendo account. One of the things, they didn't go deep into this at all. They just left it at one statement, which is that they have plans to expand the My Nintendo service into quote-unquote lifestyle, and the things they were hinting at were movies and theme parks and department stores. Those were the examples they gave. And like theme parks, I can see because, you know, as most of you remember, Nintendo recently announced, like, I guess a little partnership with Universal, so we're going to start seeing, like, some Nintendo-themed rides in the future, not only for here, but I believe in Euro Disney, somewhere in Europe, and then somewhere in Japan. I can't remember the prefecture, but it's the prefecture with all the theme parks. I don't know. If somebody could tell me the prefecture with all the theme parks. Osaka, that's it. There you go. So that's the prefecture with all the theme parks. That's all I know.
Nice.
So I can't wait. I'm kind of interested to see what Nintendo will do with that kind of thing in the future. Maybe there'll be like discounts to get into their rides or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Send us some press passes so we can review the park.
Yeah, that's right.
I
Ride some roller coasters. I'd be down.
it's
Absolutely.
good for Nintendo to expand. I mean, maybe not the best example, but like with Angry Birds, before I ever played an Angry Birds game, I saw like beach towels or toothbrushes or candy. I mean, that's not the best example now because the company's struggling, but I'd like to see a little more Nintendo. Obviously this time of year you see like Halloween costumes and stuff, but in general, I think, there's a balance between being, you don't want to oversaturate the market. You want to be selective, but yeah, it all goes back to profit, profit, whether it's from games or parks, amiibo, whatever, profit is profit, and it's going to lead to, hopefully some new exciting IPs or stuff like that.
I'm still excited about Pikmin 4 too. I mean, who knows when they said it's close to completion, so that seems like they're teasing us.
I was talking with James before the meeting. We were speculating because Nintendo always sneaks in, some announcements, and I'm like, oh, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there's some new Mario Kart 8 DLC or but for games, I'm like, yeah, Pikmin 4. Maybe we'll at least find out, what system it's for, kind of a launch window sort of thing. And we still might, because they announced, there's some games we haven't heard of yet. So, at this point, I don't know if, in terms of retail games, how much time they would have to get it out for holiday, but yeah, there'll be a few little surprises.
And speaking of surprises, I think that's a good transition to talk about Nintendo and DNA's first venture into the mobile market. I'm trying to be careful not to say that it's Nintendo's first, product into smartphones, because what it's like Pokemon Shuffle, right? That's on the smartphone right now.
Yeah, they had
So
the
that's already
index or
in there.
whatever too.
Yeah, they've had Pokédex on there for a while.
And then there's that Pokemon company, Nintech. I know Pokemon's not Nintendo, but it's very synonymous with that company, and that's going to go straight onto mobile as well. But so yeah, Miitomo. And before we get started, I just kind of wanted to ask, what was your expectations before you heard, or before you heard the announcements? Like, what were you expecting Nintendo to say about their first mobile game?
Well, that's a very loaded question. It's like, what do you expect from Nintendo? You have to expect the unexpected. It's like, you should expect something very different. And Miitomo is, I guess, it sort of makes sense, but it's very different than probably what people wanted or expected. Like, oh, maybe they'll do a, maybe the first game is Pokemon Go that they're going to announce that that's going to come out first, or maybe it's like a Mario puzzle game or something like that, Mario versus Donkey Kong. That's kind of the stuff I was thinking about. I was not even thinking a me free to play thing, but
I didn't have expectations
expectations
per
per
se,
se, but
but I thought maybe
maybe
like
like
a NES Remix type thing, little individual challenges that might be good for when you have a few minutes. Something that's easy to use with the touch screen. I didn't have a big expectation because I think we all kind of know that Nintendo is branching into mobile more out of necessity than out of a desire to tap into that market. I didn't have a concrete expectation, and after I saw Miitomo, I don't really have a strong opinion either way as of yet. I guess I was indifferent. For
What did you
better or
think?
worse.
I gotta say, I was definitely racking my brain trying to figure out what Nintendo could possibly announce. Like, I was expecting something. Maybe I was expecting something, I guess, along the lines of, like, Pokemon Shuffle or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting something like that. And then when I started reading up about Miitomo, I looked at it and I go, yeah, that's exactly what Nintendo would release.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. It's like, it's not what I expected, but it totally makes sense.
And they're going to be, especially since this is a new avenue, they're going to be protective of Mario, of Link. They're not going to, you know, release a AAA smartphone game and devalue, you know, the console market. So, you know, this is more of a niche product. Let's see how people respond to it. At least Miis in general are people associate, you know, with the Wii name. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that, and I also think it's, even though they're with the mobile veterans DNA, Nintendo still wants to have more time to get a feel for the mobile market and see what people are looking at and see how, like, how what Nintendo responds to, instead of just, like, muscling in a bunch of money into, you know, a big product and just bringing it out right away and just not and having it just fall flat.
Mm-hmm.
This one's, like, a good, like, let's test the waters a little bit. And then, again, going back to what I said earlier, I think Miitomo is going to be something that's going to connect with a lot of other software that Nintendo releases in the future, whether it's going to be in the smartphone or the console. Mm-hmm. So I expect to see not only Miitomo, but the next game for Nintendo, you know, such and such such, works with Miitomo. And that's going to be like somewhere on the box or whatever you want to call the page, I guess, the store page. You know, that's what it's going to say.
Yeah, and Nintendo's always kind of mentioned that you're still kind of left wondering how they're going to execute it, but they've always said, hey, the smartphone games are going to point people to our consoles and handhelds. And that's, like Trevor was saying, that's going to be a very interesting thing for them to tackle, because you don't necessarily want to do something super amazing on the smartphones that people are like, oh, cool, this is all I've ever wanted. I don't need to get a Wii U or a NX or a 3DS. But it's going to be very hard for them to make something that's compelling but also says, hey, I want to buy something else from Nintendo that I can't play on my phone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
And, I mean, I'm just going to go off this assumption right now. We're all going to have Miitomo in March, right?
Probably, yeah.
I'll check it out.
I'm interested to see, you know, what we can do with it. Because it's, from what we've seen, it's way more down-to-earth than Tomodachi Life was.
Mm-hmm.
Almost anything is.
Yeah. So what are they going to do? Are they going to make it more medium? Are they going to make it more of like an Animal Crossing? Are you going to be able to decorate your little Miis apartments?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are a lot more questions I think need to be asked about Miitomo. Like,
yeah.
Is it going to spread nasty rumors about me? Because I was looking at the thing, and it's like, you're talking to your Mii, but then your Mii is going to go talk to other Miis, and that Mii is going to go talk to their owners, and it's like, this sounds like a terrible game of telephone, and it's just going to go terribly, or something like that. It's like, you want to know what I heard?
Uh-huh.
And it's Mii's just shaking their head, you know. Yeah. I don't want my Mii talking crap about me behind my back.
Well, you see why they need more time to promote it and explain it, you know, because here we are thinking all these horror scenarios. So I'm sure they have systems in place, or will have, you know, checks and balances, so it can't be, you know, abused too much.
Yeah. Whatever, you know, our expectations with this mobile announcement, it seems like, you know, the stock market took it a little less positively than we did, even though we're just kind of left with blank stares and confusion.
Yeah.
The stock, And just a couple of numbers. Nintendo stock had dropped 8.97% since the announcement, and DNA stock had dropped 14.93% since that announcement. So, I mean, that's obviously that's not good. And, you know, whether Miitomo is good or not is aside from the point when it comes to stocks. You know, obviously what they announced is not encouraging their investors to stick with Nintendo. So, I mean, that begs the question, what do you think Nintendo can do at this point to, you know, tell investors, hey, hold on a minute, hold on a minute, it's going to get better, just, you know, please hold on, you know.
I wonder, go ahead.
Well, it's all about managing expectations. I don't know if Nintendo inflated expectations by maybe inadvertently by not, I mean, think about it. Last time we heard about their mobile initiative, Iwata announced the NX, you know, kind of very simply, you know, in that meeting. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we're also partnering with DNA and we have 5 games coming out, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, you could imagine the speculation that was running rampant, you know, not just by fans, but also probably by investors. So I could see just all sorts of expectations that investors had. Well, even that Wall Street Journal guy was like, this should be really cool. It's a Nintendo's first announcement of their first mobile smartphone game or whatever. And we, after seeing it, it's like, yeah, that was pretty lackluster. There's they said it's delayed. The first one's not even coming out till March. And it's not even a game per se. It's kind of this social experiment thing. So you can see how investors could be like, yeah, I'm not seeing dollar signs here yet. This is a free to play game. Where's the money, you know?
Yeah.
So you can see how it kind of happened, but I don't know necessarily a way for them to combat it. They just need to communicate better, maybe.
I think a lot of the problem was not so much your prediction to Miitomo per se. It's the fact that it was delayed. Because up until the meeting, you know, I think most of us were like, oh, we'll be playing this, you know, soon. Mm-hmm. By the end of the year, at least. Maybe even they'll, you know, release it like after the meeting's over, like, hey, you can download this right now. Because they've done that before with surprise releases. Then we find out it's delayed. And for, you know, investors that are looking for profit and profit quick, you know, that's probably an announcement they didn't like. I suspect, you know, if Miitomo was out right now or if they said it's coming out December or whatever, you know, there would have been a little less of a negative reaction. You know, people are impatient, you know, gamers, investors, we're all impatient. We want it now and we want it great. And you know, you want a great product, it's going to, more, especially with games, more often than not, it's going to run into delays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you think about it, like potentially end of March, I mean, that's a good deal of time away. I mean, you have a whole month of November, December, January, February, March. I mean, that's almost 6 months, essentially. That's almost half a year delay. So you can see, yeah, why the reaction might be that way.
I think
so you wonder how much promotion there's going to be for 6 months. I mean, if that's what they're delaying it for, it's just to promote and explain. Are we going to be blitzed with Miitomo, whatever, ads or snippets? Or?
I don't know. Whatever Nintendo's plan is for 2016, I hope that it starts early and often. You know, because they said, you know, hey, we're talking about NX in 2016. I hope that really means, like, you know, in January, there's a Nintendo Direct. Hey, this is what we're going to do with NX. Here's some early teasers. We'll keep announcing stuff, you know, every month or, you know, every 2 months. But they need to keep, you know, keep the hits coming in 2016 if they want to have some momentum. Have the smartphone stuff going in tandem.
I think that's you just said it right there, which what I was going to say was, I think – it didn't matter. Well, maybe it mattered a little bit of whether or not Miitomo was coming out sooner or later. I think what investors really wanted to know about was NX, which hasn't been mentioned since that initial press meeting that Iwata had. Like, we really don't know anything except for that the NX exists and that we know that dev kits are going out there to developers, but that's it. And at this point, I think with, you know, a low holiday season, a low 2015 holiday season for the Wii U, and with upcoming mobile stuff, I think investors really want to say, no, hey, what's going on with NX? What can you tell us? Can you tell us anything at all? We want to know. We want to know this. We don't care about mobile right now. We want to know about NX. Yeah. You know, you're pushing this as your next big thing. Tell us about it. So yeah. I think until Nintendo hears about it, I think investors are still going to be very iffy with that company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like very uncertain times for Nintendo, especially after Iwata's death. It's like, is Kimishima going to be kind of just, okay, whatever initiatives Iwata started, I'm just here for a year, just keep him going, you know, like, it, and is that where NX is? It's not, hopefully it's not just getting thrown away, you know, hopefully we don't find out, oh, we decided to scrap it and we're doing something else, or, you know, I don't think that's the case since dev kits have gone out, but I don't know, it just seems like all these things, like there's just not a lot of information coming out from Nintendo. So.
And it doesn't take much. I mean, you know, the smallest nugget people can dissect and talk about for weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I've been reading now for weeks about how Zelda U is going to be a dual launch for Wii U and NX. Where does that originate from? It doesn't originate from anywhere.
No.
It originates from gamers' minds, you know. We think back to Twilight Princess with the cube and that, but that's all it is. No. There's not a shred of concrete info to back that, but we run nuts with it. How much more so if they, you know, gave us something concrete. You know, I think a lot of it too, talking about like the transition, like with Iwata, I mean, there was like a cult of personality around him. He was so likable. He engaged the fans so much. I think, you know, people probably are, you know, for lack of a better word, they want Iwata 2.0. They don't want to see somebody that's going to be, you know, and that's not how business operates. Mm-hmm. You know, you bring in new leadership that have, you know, I don't know. It's, yeah, it's an interesting time period.
Right. Yeah, you want, I like what you're saying. You want someone that's going to be excited about what Nintendo's coming out with, and I think Iwata kind of exuded that to like, hey, this is really cool. I think it's really cool. This is why you should think it's cool. And it seems like Kimishima is going to be more businessy. I mean, we'll see what he's like in a direct if they have him in one. But you know, he may be a lot more lighthearted and fun than what we've seen so far. He's probably not going to be lighthearted and fun at an investor meeting.
But, yeah, that's true. You know.
Yeah,
first impression.
Yeah, like kind of our first impressions of Kimishima are he's a stern businessman, but nobody knows him, right? Like no fans like know exactly his personality. We could see the first Nintendo Direct, and he could be like holding bananas or, you know, doing silly stuff like Iwata did. So you know, we have no idea, but that's why I think it's just kind of uncertain. It's like, we don't know who this new president is. We don't know what they're doing with NX. They haven't had a Nintendo Direct in several months.
Yeah. So. We don't want to be premature in judging things before we, you know, have informed opinions about stuff.
Yeah.
Which is easier said than done, because, I mean, I'm as guilty as anyone, you know, so.
Yeah, your point about people talking about Zelda U on the NX, I mean, it's a fair point to bring up, you know, like what, you know, what software-wise do we know about that's coming to the Wii U for next year besides Zelda? I mean, there's not a whole lot outside of first-party endeavors. So, I mean, it's a valid question, and so people are like, hey, is the NX going to come out at the end of next year? If so, that's when apparently Zelda's supposed to come out. So, and then you have people that are totally jumping ship that are like, hey, if Nintendo's already going to be talking about NX, there's no way I'm buying a Wii U. I'll just get an NX. And then it's like, oh boy, you know. Then Nintendo's kind of stuck in this limbo area of, okay, we can't even talk about NX especially if we don't plan on releasing it till 2017, because people aren't going to buy our systems right now. So, like a darned if you do, darned if you don't.
Yeah, no, that's it.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close this KoopaCast up. I want to thank Justin and Trevor for joining me and talking about Nintendo's latest financial reports and their mobile initiative. I want to thank all of our readers for reading our magazine and our website. I want to thank our listeners for listening to the KoopaCast, either the audio or the video version. You know, either one's fine with me. If you want to get in contact with us, you can do so by emailing podcast@purenintendo.com. You can also follow us all together. We are at Pure Nintendo. Each of us also have their own Twitter accounts. I'm at purely_Matt. Justin is, I believe, at purely_Justin. Mm-hmm. And Trevor is
at Trev_G1.
Nice. At Trev_G1. You know, Trevor, if you just conformed like the rest of us, then your Twitter handle would be easier to remember.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's all right. It's all right.
And so, again, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all in 2 weeks for KoopaCast number 80.
That's good. See you, everyone.
Bye, all.